welcome to the OM Podcast. Thank you for inviting us into your headphones, your vehicles, and or hot tub. Wherever you may be right now, please know that we love each and every one of you, except for you, Matthew.
Ooh.
My name is Peter Talbot, and I am joined here by my co-host and iOS team lead, Kent Humphreys.
Hi, everyone.
How are you, Kent?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
This is exciting having you in the... We talked about this. I think we just want to all be hosts.
I don't really want to be hosts, but if you...
You're a little bit host, I'm a little bit host. Okay. We're all hosts here at the OM Podcast.
Yes. Leveling things out and sitting in the Android corner today is Android team lead.
In the blue corner.
Hello.
What am I? What color am I?
Petze. Oh, what, headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. I worked really hard on this intro, and it's just gone out the door.
Now you see what it's like, Talbo, every week. It's payback time.
I'm not a nice person. Leveling things out is Petze Nikolovsky.
Nikolovsky.
He is the Android team lead. And on the in the other corner... It's like the octagon. It's like MMA.
So many
Our Symbian team lead, Keith Smythe.
Hello.
No, Keith is a Android dev.
Yes.
You just felt bad that we're all team leads. And you're
I'm the only one here who's not a team lead.
Just put it on your business card. Fantastic. I think you could be a Symbian team lead.
Yeah, no, I wasn't very good. My entire platform kind of went under.
Yeah.
That's not your fault.
Don't knock it. I used to work on Symbian.
Yeah, right.
Did you really?
What was that
awful.
Like?
Yeah,
so you used to work for me.
Yes. No, I designed the Ovi store at one stage for Symbian.
That was
S60 devices.
Didn't that like make them lots of money and they were really successful?
We've derailed it. <your choice. laughs>
All right. Okay. I get it, Ken. So how is everyone going?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, not much. We just...
Just making apps, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. What I've been doing is thinking about really clunky segues and watching TV. oh my God. Speaking
TV?
Of TV devices.
Yes.
Kent, I need you to take over.
Well, Pete, you got yourself an Amazon Fire TV.
Mm.
Tell us.
How is it?
What is it?
What is it?
Yeah,
it's like
to me. It looks like an Apple TV, only they've stuck an Amazon sticker over the box. Like it's the exact same plastic, right?
That's pretty much exactly what it is. It's very much like an Apple TV. It is a lot better though because
it's Android. Hey,
it is. Ah,
you hear that?
Yeah. High fives in the air.
It's my first Android device.
That's a big step.
Feels well, you're not getting the whole experience.
Yeah, I'm getting just enough. That's all I want.
Does it even work in Australia?
Kind of.
Ah,
yeah, it plugs so turns in on. Everything turns on, and it runs Plex,
nice.
Which is why I
do
got
you,
it.
Do you wear protection when you use it?
I'm a Plex user. I've had just about enough of your Android and Symbian bashing, Ken. Back on topic, yeah.
So that's why you got it, the Plex.
Yeah, for Plex, because I have been using... Apple TV, streaming to that from my phone via AirPlay, mm-hmm. and it's just a really clunky way to get your media content on your telly.
Yeah, it's so much worse than burning it to physical media and then putting it inside some sort of
yeah.
tray.
But it drops out all the time, and it's AirPlay's pretty flaky. So this cuts out all of that, and so it runs off the Plex server on my MacBook and goes straight to the Amazon Fire TV.
Nice.
And so far, so good. It's been really great. It just runs the Android Plex app. I should also point out that Plex is a great media server mm-hmm. software that is on everything. That's their mission statement, is to whack it on everything. So it's in microwaves and toasters.
But not Apple TV, because Apple is a closed.
Yeah, it is on if you're
yes.
if you're a naughty boy and you jailbreak a second gen.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that
Apple
on eBay.
TV, you can do that. Yeah,
like, the older ones go for more than the newer ones because they're jailbreakable.
The so first, yeah, crazy. Apple product ever to
increase
know,
in value.
The older,
in
yeah.
So there's still no jailbreaking for Generation 3?
Not that I know of.
It never happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Not that we would do that kind of thing. I hear it's illegal.
Unbreakable.
No.
Breaks terms of service.
Petze, apparently you use a stick.
Yes.
An RK, we just made up a name for it.
So stick.
An RK3188 Nikolovsky Android stick.
Yeah. So it's just a generic Chinese manufactured rock chip stick. So you can pretty much get them for $20 to $40 on different sites like, I don't know, Alibaba,
internet,
or eBay. The only thing which, I mean, it's really good. It has an awesome performance. It has lots of RAM, lots of processing power. But the issue is that it doesn't have really nice interface. Because I do have also Apple TV. And the only problem with the Apple TV was that I couldn't actually find my way through it properly. Because I'm not an iOS user, so imagining...
I don't think that has anything to do with being an iOS user. Apple TV interface sucks.
Trust me, whenever
it
you need
bad,
to...
It is bad, but how could you not get through it?
Whenever
there's
you
only
need to...
It's like two buttons.
Two states.
It's like you can go forwards or backwards, up or down.
Imagine whenever you need to search for something and you're using that small remote, it's just a killer.
It's the remote, I mean, too small.
Does your Nikolovsky stick have a remote?
Well, that's another thing, actually. I spent like $40 on that stick and I spent another $40 on a remote.
Gotcha. Okay, so that... I felt...
So the remote is pretty good, actually. It has gyroscope on it. It has a keyboard. And it's really sleek and it
the
it
remote?
Looks, yes.
It sounds like a phone.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. It's... you can play games with it and stuff like that, but...
Make phone calls.
Yeah, you can...
It's a phone. You bought a phone, all right? They put remote on the box, but yeah. You bought a phone.
Actually, now I want to hear about this $40 phone that Petze's bought.
Yeah, but the problem with the stick is that actually it has the interface of a tablet app, so you don't have that nice user experience you might have with...
Petze, what are you saying about Android tablet apps?
No, this
Kent,
is.
You've been
this, I'm talking
Stop
about
snapping your fingers.
I'm talking about TV. I'm not talking about tablet. So okay. Whenever you buy something that plugs into your TV, you expect to have nice TV interface.
Got it.
And the problem is that you don't get with this one. I mean, you can install apps like XBMC and and there is other there is Plex app as well that you can install. But still, it doesn't come natively. I know that now Google actually is having another trial or another attempt to go forward with the Android TV,
right? Yeah,
yeah. But it was really ironic. The first blog post that I read was, "Android TV is the new Google TV."
You really want to be known as that?
Yeah, and if we all remember, I mean, Google TV failed like
Titanic 2. It's the new Titanic. This time we won't sink.
So this time we're going South Pole.
Yeah, so I'll be patiently waiting to see how it's going to look like, and I'll probably trial it on my device. But anyway, for now, I think it's flexible enough at least, just because I have this really awesome remote control that I can do a lot of things. But I haven't found any nirvana, I can say, within the TV
sphere
and
square, sorry.
and have something that actually pleases all my needs.
I felt really bad at first because when Petze said he bought the Nikolovsky stick for $40, I felt kind of ripped off. But then when he said he spent another $40 getting the remote, I thought, yes,
suddenly
okay, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
But and Amazon... the input devices or peripherals on the Amazon Fire TV are really nice. It comes with a little tiny remote with a microphone in it. So you can press the button and say, "I want to watch Game of Thrones," or just say "Game of Thrones" and it will bring it up.
And we were playing around with that. It was pretty darn good. Like it was only words that are, you know, like Keanu. We were trying to say Keanu Reeves and it didn't get that because it's kind of a weirdly pronounced word.
You kept shouting, "Play Faith Hill."
Yeah,
and that for some reason that didn't work.
And Joaquin Phoenix, it was just
Joaquin
like,
Phoenix didn't work. You kept saying, "Computer, load up nude Joaquin Phoenix," and that we had some real issues with that.
It's, you know, Amazon Fire. It's a technology
also,
in its infancy.
I paid $40 for a controller for the Amazon Fire because it plays games as
game
well.
Game controller, yeah.
It's very getting very blurry lines between what is a console, what is a set-top box, what is a
console is something you play good games on.
expensive
game. Set-top box is what you bought.
But the controller is really, really sweet. It's heavy. I would say it's just as good as the Xbox controller.
Well, yeah, and we have Ouya controller. Like, yeah. We happen to have one sitting next to it, and it, the difference in build quality and like balance, it was so much better than the Amazon one.
Yeah, the Ouya controller felt like it was sort of pieced together out of ice cream containers.
Or ice cream sticks. Icy pole sticks.
Yeah. Just with sort of clag and paper mache. And the Amazon Fire TV is just this solid lump. It's a real knockoff of the Xbox controller.
It does have batteries in it, though. I'm always a little bit down on you know, same as like Wiimote sticks things. No, I want like an internal battery that I charge or with, and then
I got the.
Oh, you got Apple some charging thing for it.
The Sanyo.
You can recharge those.
Yeah,
those bad boys.
But it's an interesting time because, you know, Amazon Fire TV, they're the first cab off the rank to really sort of go into this Android own your living room experience. The first kind of official company to really push it.
What, you mean like Google TV that Google bought out well, 3 years ago?
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. It's the new one as of this week.
Yeah. But we're going to see a lot.
Definitely.
And the experience so far that I've gone through, and it's kind of weird having it in Australia because it's very much designed for the US market. So it's Netflix, it's Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. it's all these... US services that aren't available here. Pandora works here, yep. Which is cool.
US Postal Service.
Yeah.
What else? Amtrak, Greyhound buses.
But I really just use it as, you know, a way to use Plex and to play a couple of games. Mm-hmm. And the games I've played on it so far are pretty good, but obviously ported from tablets. So they're not amazing.
Okay, speculation time. The Apple TV just keeps getting more and more channels continually, and it's just becoming this ridiculous grid of icons. Do you think, what do you think? Do you think that there's a change is going to come?
From a UI point of view, it's crying out for every design. I think everyone at Apple is just looking at that going, when can we kill that?
I think they're not looking at it. They're all like, I don't see, there's no product there.
Uh-huh. I think it's the most poorly designed Apple product in terms of UI that I've seen in recent years. Mm-hmm. It would just seem to be that horrible crossover between, it was sort of caught the tail end of iOS 6 or iOS 5 whenever it came out, and they've really had to stick to the textures and jelly buttons.
I've been saying this for like 3 years, and I don't know if it's ever actually going to come true, but I keep believing that this WWDC, this year, they're going to release the API so that anyone can put apps on it, so you can have games on it.
Amazingly cool.
And every year, though, I feel like there's always evidence pointing to it, and every year they disappoint me. So last year, they provided controller support for iOS. So they've steadily been building games that have support for Bluetooth controllers. Surely that, you know, it's the logical progression. Hey, put your games on here. You've already got controllers. Look, great.
I saw on Mac rumors that Siri integration is happening with Apple TV now. So,
which would be interesting because that would be them playing catch up to Amazon Fire, because Amazon Fire actually got their product out.
It very much feels like that.
I thought we were here to talk about Android, guys.
Again, sidetracked. I feel bad for Keith because we haven't mentioned Symbian at all. And it reminds me...
Symbian TV.
The killer feature on my Nokia N8, which is a really cool phone.
You love bringing that bad boy out, don't you?
It's super nice. It's orange. It looks really, really cool. But the killer app that was on it was an app, and I would love to see more of this for phones we have today. I haven't really looked into it because it doesn't seem to be a thing that anyone really cares about, the plugging your device into a phone. You sort of AirPlay or your Chromecast. But let me get to the what I'm trying to talk about.
The point.
There was an app called Nokia Big Screen. And what it did is when you plug the HDMI cable into your Nokia N8, it had like an Apple TV experience on you. It just went, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And you ran the screen and it was sort of like a second screen experience. And
so, but your phone had to be like plugged in?
Plugged in, yes. Uh-huh. Physically plugged in.
Okay.
And
was it good?
The phone became a remote. It was great. It was easily the best app on
the phone
on the
became
thing.
A remote.
Apart from the Ovi store, obviously.
The phone became a remote, but you had to have a HDMI cable.
You were tethered,
yeah.
So it was a mini HDMI to HDMI.
I feel like that is
like would be unacceptable for a lot of people nowadays.
It was kind of clunky, but yeah, it was kind of like a
good for its time
weird use case.
Yeah, Keith, did you play around with the old Chromecast? I was going to call it a Chrome stick, but they're not all called something stick.
The Chrome stick. Yes, I did. We got a Chromecast here mm-hmm. at work quite recently, and anyone with an Android phone has been trying to play with it. So
successfully?
Yeah, it's actually worked really well. We were all sitting there in like the meeting room, and it's hooked up to one of our TVs in a meeting room. And like we were just like, well, we could all go through Apple TV and show like what we've got in Chrome on there, but why don't we just cast Chrome the browser?
So that Chrome, I mean, that's cast. A distinction, right, between the Chromecast is what, like a $30-$20 US song bill?
Yeah, $35.
Basically free.
Yeah.
Essentially, you buy anything on Amazon and they're like, would you like a Chromecast with that? But the difference is, compared to Apple TV or Amazon Fire, that it's not actually fully mirroring your device, or it's not providing a full experience.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's about only handling
well, Chrome. You can consider it as a client, I guess, in a way. You can consider it as a browser client, if I be more specific. So mm-hmm. whenever you try to broadcast something, like share your Chrome tabs, what actually you're doing is you're actually presenting the same content of that particular tab like a browser on the Chromecast. And mm-hmm. whenever you want to stream video or something like that, you kind of create a HTML5 server on your device. Okay. And then the Chromecast is actually playing or browsing that content.
That's pretty neat. So yeah. it's anything that has a URL, anything that can be served on the internet, yep. whether it's already there or something you're creating as a little yes. local mini server, yep. it'll feed off.
The PlayStation YouTube app works a bit like that mm-hmm. when because you can sort of sling videos to the PlayStation by... It sort of mirrors it.
I like that gesture. Like they've captured the word sling. It really, yeah. You know what they're sling trying to say,
it.
Don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting concept, but it cannot work on its own. That's the main idea. You have to have the secondary device to actually stream the content to it. You cannot just say, okay, I'll just grab a remote and grab the Chromecast mm-hmm. and play any content out there.
Does the Chromecast have an interface at all?
Kind of. It's got like a little like landing desktop screen saying that it's connected, and that's about it. Like the way you sort of administer the Chromecast is you install that app on your phone. Mm-hmm. I said app in this podcast. And then you administer the Chromecast through that. Mm-hmm. So you connect it to different Wi-Fis and that kind of thing.
Cool.
It's nice. It's really neat.
It's an interesting space. And the interesting thing about this is that like of all these devices, the Apple TV is the only one that you would go into a shop in Australia and find on the shelf, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you can find Rokus anywhere. No one seems to stock that.
Not that I know of. I've never looked at it, to be honest.
Smart TVs seem to be very popular.
I have a smart TV. Guess
that's kind of scratching that itch.
How do I do this constructively? You were talking about the Apple TV UI needs an update?
Yeah.
The smart TV UI needs an update. It needs some love. It's sort of very, very, the hardware behind it is very, very slow. Like,
yeah, that's what I find the biggest problem is it's just not responsive.
Yeah.
With all smart TVs, it's like with the Amazon Fire TV box, it's instant. You're just like bam, bam, bam. Like you're all over it. And it feels really fast because you're used to on a normal TV interface just waiting
change
for a second
channel
or two for every button press that you do.
Something that's as good as like a 3-year-old tablet. You're like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just like my Nokia N8.
One final thing I want to, like, you mentioned that we use Apple TVs here in the office. And I think this is really interesting to someone who hasn't been to our office.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of corporate places, when you walk into a meeting room, there's a projector overhead and this like little volcano of cables spewing out of the middle of a table somewhere. What I like about here, and it only works in our environment because we're like a Mac. We all use Macs as our daily work machines, but all our meeting rooms have a TV with an Apple TV hooked up. And if we want to share anything we're working on our personal screen, we just mirror it to the Apple TV on that screen. And I would say it works. Yeah, I would say it works like 80% of the time.
It's not robust enough.
It's not robust, but I don't know.
It's definitely better than, you know, when you go to present in a boardroom and there's always the VGA cable.
Yeah.
And you're like, what
do I do? Who has one?
What do I do with this? Why is it an analog cable? How am I going
to
shove this?
And you have to carry an army of adapters with you wherever you go. Yeah. So it is.
It's better
than
that, but I would prefer just to have HDMI at the table. It's reliable.
That's kind of the.
Does the thing.
I used to have a Dell laptop that had VGA.
Back up.
So yeah,
it's for that laptop.
I had a netbook 5 years ago. VGA. About 5 years old.
What's a netbook?
That's a very good question. Yeah,
it was all, everyone.
What happened to netbooks?
Yeah, everyone was all like, "Tablets are never going to kill netbook." What a joke! But
it happened.
Turns out,
I had a netbook and a mini disc.
Yeah. Turns out. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if Apple can actually do something.
Speaking of vintage technology,
yeah.
Friends of mine were at a bar on the weekend, and Cherry Bar in Melbourne.
Yeah,
and this is where we're from. And one of them was saying that there was this girl there, like a cool hipster
girl. I can tell this is
going
to be a good story. Yeah. You're already starting to like...
And she sort of like sat down and like put out her vintage Nokia phone like on the table and just sort of like waited for everybody to go,
to oh comment. My God, what is that? Oh, it's just my phone, you guys. I don't do this.
Yeah,
phone,
you know.
I'm just connected. Really, really well.
She's actually here.
Yep.
Okay. I'm there.
You can go now, Brittany.
Okay, whatever.
I think that that's going to be a trend in the coming years when smartphones aren't special. It's not really...
Take that back. Well, my smartphone is special.
Very special. But it's harder and harder for a smartphone to be a fashion statement, I feel. And I'm getting way off track here, but I'm coming out with one of my predictions that will slap me in the face years later. But be on the lookout for hipsters and vintage phones.
Bandito,
our producer for today. He's nodding, and he lives in Northcote, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. He's all over that hipster thing. Pete, I was just going to say, to draw it back to what you said. High fidelity audio is the future, and that's it.
Are you keeping a list of Peter's
predictions? I'm keeping
predictions,
a list of Pete's predictions, and I rub them in his face
every
week. You
have a segment for it.
Until they come true.
Yeah, the high def one.
Then the tables turn.
There was a thing update on iTunes.
Yeah.
A week later after I said
that.
That
was a little
gonna be
bit
serving up
prescient.
High def, yeah. Crystal ball.
Speaking of crystal balls.
Don't touch me there.
I was wondering if we could all take a moment, or maybe a few moments, and look into our crystal balls. And
stop talking about our balls.
I am not mature enough.
Has he seen my phone yet?
Let's look into the future. There you go. I avoided the term.
In the year 2014.
Google I.O. is a mere 2 months away. And that's why we have all these Android boys hanging out with us. So we can...
It's got nothing to do for 2 months. Do a podcast.
Certainly not here for their hygiene.
Stop looking at me, Peter.
They're very clean boys.
I cleaned my crystal balls.
With very large... All right.
We can edit after the pod. Yeah.
I want to talk about Android. I want to talk about what direction you think Android is going to go
up.
This year with all the only way is up with Google I.O., and maybe what direction you want it to go to. So tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. If you were Sundar Pichai, did I pronounce that right? He's the head of Android.
Sundar Pichai.
I think
hang on,
right.
Before you get into your predictions,
yeah,
I'm just going to lay down some truth.
Yeah.
This year, Google I.O. is going to be all about sweater vests.
So we've got... hipster phones coming. No, retro phones
fiber
coming back in.
Sweater vest.
High definition audio and Google vest. Okay,
Google vest.
Google vest. Forget glass. This year's latest technology is a vest. It's a solar powered battery pack.
Okay, vest. I'm feeling cold.
It's also a movable display. A fabric display that you can project your name on.
Okay, vest. I'm feeling fat. Shrinking size.
Actually, we're due next year for the shoes, the size adjust fit
back
shoes
to
from Back to the Future and Hoverboard.
And hologram Jaws previews.
Yeah.
It's all going to happen. Next year's going to be an amazing
skateboards.
Year.
Skateboards.
So do you think any of the Back to the Future stuff's going to be at Google I.O.?
I think Google is making all of those things. They've teamed up with, was it Reebok or Nike? The
Nike.
The shoes. I bet they've teamed up with some skate company. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Petso.
Guys, I want to be serious.
Hello, Googlio.
Very serious question. What do you think the next edition of Android is going to be called? My vote, which only really makes sense in Australia, but Android lollies.
Lolly!
Android lollies. What do you guys think?
Right, international audience.
Candy.
Lollies equals candy.
Oh, yeah. Do the UK say lollies?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Well, no, they mean...
everything we say the UK says, basically.
Yeah, anyway. What do you think it's going to be called? They haven't announced a name yet.
Well, there's a speculation going on. I mean, a lot of names, and Lollipop comes... I'm on the first one, yeah, I guess. Okay.
You are the Android team lead here, so I assume you have the inside knowledge.
It's probably your decision. Like, Google is just going to call you up and be like...
Yeah. Well, we're going to call them Licking Lollies.
or maybe lemon meringue pie, licorice, lemon slice.
Licorice? People hate
licorice.
I
said that as a joke.
I don't know. Who hates licorice?
It's licorice.
Everyone puts their hand up in licorice. The room.
Yep.
These all suck. As a more serious question, do you think it's going to be 4.5 or 5.0?
Well, it's up to the time to wait and see what's going to be. I mean,
wow, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah, that's an exciting prediction for this podcast.
Putting your reputation on the line there, Pets, eh?
Well, I think we're going to wait 2 months. Wait for 2 more months and you'll see.
That's just like the opposite of Peter. Like, Peter's just like sweater vests. Everything is going to happen. Petzo's going to be like, well, maybe something will happen.
It's Google vest, not sweater vest.
Google vest.
Google vest.
Okay, but, West.
Yeah, Petzo, we were talking about kind of the path that Google is on. And you said you were telling me that in 4.4, there were some sort of significant changes that were made that kind of lay the framework for some interesting things this year, potentially.
So, before even talking about 4.5 or 5.0,
don't want to make any predictions there, per se. Stay nicely on the fence.
We'll wait and see.
Maybe it's good to take a step back and look at the last one, the KitKat. Well, I'm not sure how they choose the name, but yeah, it's a lousy
Nestle
name.
Gave them a whole bunch of money and they said thank you.
I think they were basically talking about calling it key lime pie, but that's very American.
KitKat is someone's favorite thing. It was some Google guy loves KitKat, therefore they named it KitKat. Anyway.
Anyway. So there were at least two significant things which happened in 4.4 in KitKat. One of the things was that they actually refactored the whole code base and they were announcing it like, okay, from now on, 4.4 will be actually able to run on low-end devices with 600 megahertz of processing power, less RAM, and everyone was so excited, thought like, because it was advertised like that, a lot of people actually thought, oh, finally fragmentation in Android is broken.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an update for my 2.3 device. Uh-huh. It's so great. But actually, it turned out that, they were planning to do that, but only for the future devices. So,
oh, just out of interest, Petse, what version of Android is running on your Petse stick?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah,
Nikolovsky stick.
On your Nikolovsky.
It's 4.2.
Jellybean.
There
you go.
Yeah. That's good. It's pretty good, actually.
Did that come with that?
Or it came with that. And actually, it's really...
You're never seeing an update on the Nikolovsky stick.
Ice cream sandwich.
It's rooted, so you can actually apply, if you are into those things, you can apply even Cyanogen or some kind of other modes. Yeah, but going back to the refactoring part, the interesting part.
What's important?
It kind of hinted that actually Android is going to go for low-end devices. Yeah. And all of a sudden, a couple of months back, we all saw that there was this big announcement of Android Watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here is where it actually fits that refactoring, finally. And we had the chance actually to download the SDK and tried the... that Android Watch, how is it going to look on an emulator? And I remember the first thing in the documentation that we read was, don't run Android applications on it. And obviously, we just ran it anyway.
just grabbed all our apps and put it on the watch.
I guess there was a reason why they put that. I mean, everything seems to be working fine, but the current design guidelines don't actually fit with it.
It's a circle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a circle, or it could be a circle, a square, or I'm not sure.
So getting back to that 4.4 thing, you feel like that was kind of a ensuring that their operating system ran on lower-end devices was a way to say, now we've got these different category of devices which are not as powerful as a phone.
Yep.
And we'll still be able to put the most modern operating system.
Yeah, so it kind of hinted that that's going to happen now. Mm. So I'm really assuming that on this I/O they're going to announce one of those Nexus or Motorola or whatever LG watches, which will run Android OS on them. And the other actually interesting thing about 4.4 is that in 4.4 what they've done is they removed the native web view, which was with the Android platform since the beginnings, since the dinosaur age, pretty much, and they just replaced
3 years ago in the beginning.
Guys, that was so 3 years ago.
Yeah, and they replaced it with their own Chromium web view. So Chromium web view, just for our listeners, it's much more powerful. It's more focused on HTML5. It's more performant. So it kind of hints something is going to happen within that sector of things.
Well,
so
does that tie into, I read about Project Hera, which, so when we talked about Sundar Pichai, he's the head of Android, but also he's the head of Chrome and Google Apps. So they've got one dude now that's driving Chrome and Android together.
Yep.
And yeah, so the rumors are that this Project Hera is going to be taking, I don't know, the web experience to the next level. Are you knowledgeable on
it's
this
it's
topic?
Just a rumor for now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as an Android fanboy, I tend to follow those rumors. Uh-huh. It seems like, well, I mean, maybe I should start with just a question for you guys, because we all use mobile devices. What's the most annoying thing about a tablet or about a phone?
Recharging it.
Yeah, that's like...
There's no Velcro to stick it onto your vest.
Your Google vest. Yeah. Well, Google vest has a pocket for that.
What about when you compare it to actual computer, what's the most annoying thing?
Productivity. It's not great for productivity. It's for making things.
Multitasking.
Multitasking and productivity. I mean, that's the most annoying thing. Whenever you...
And the vest.
So whenever you're watching a YouTube video or you're watching a movie or something like that, and someone sends an email to you or sends an instant message or something like that, and you want to respond then right away, but you don't want to get out of your context.
Your game.
Yeah, your game
you're
or whatever.
Playing a game.
You have to pause that, go outside, respond back, come back, and you actually lose that.
It feels heavy, doesn't it? Like, even though you're just moving your finger around a bit, it feels heavy.
It feels heavy, and it feels you're not productive enough. And well, I'm not just talking about who's productive when watching movies, but I'm talking about anything. What you do is switching off context is actually...
The decline of man began in 2014 when civilized man became too lazy to press buttons on a screen. From this point on, man descended into...
chaos.
The abyss.
Sorry, go on.
So apparently that Google with the rumors, actually, it says that Google is trying to actually solve this gap somehow. Mm-hmm. So no one is sure how is that going to happen. So probably it's just a rumor. But the rumors said that they're going to offer some kind of an HTML5 integration within the new version of Android. And it would allow you easily... switchable context, so you can watch or do a game and you can respond instantly on your messages and stuff like that. So we wouldn't require that heavy lifting and reloading the whole application. So you don't
is it
have
like
to...
smart context switching sort of? Like I reckon you're probably going to want to reply to this, so I'll make it really easy for you to get to.
Something like that.
And integrated across Chrome and Android.
Yes. And also one of the things is like most of the times when you are using a particular device, you're reading something on your browser, or maybe you're reading some book and you go home and you want to continue doing that, but you want to do it on a bigger device. So this will apparently solve that gap as well. So you can easily continue where you actually stopped.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I have a question. I have a C-sharp background, which I don't often tell people here because I get made fun of a little bit.
Was that before or after Symbian?
same time. Okay, I was multitasking.
Yeah.
Do you think this whole productivity, doing two things at once on a tablet thing is being rumored about because Microsoft has already solved this problem?
Well, don't ask me because I'm a man and I don't know how
to
multitask.
Well, you're the team lead. Oh, I mean, yeah, do you think it's a response almost to like the Surface coming out where they've got full-blown Windows in like a tablet form factor with touch and everything going?
Well, it's an interesting thing. You know that actually Samsung tried to solve this thing with TouchWiz UI. And,
best name for a UI
Yeah,
ever.
But
I use it on the toilet, TouchWiz.
Yeah, but I don't think they actually solved it. I remember when... S4 came out and there was like weird features where you can actually use the front facing camera and back facing camera and take a photo and put your head somewhere in.
That is amazing, right? That's future technology right there.
It's multitasking.
Yeah, that's not multitasking.
Or I don't know, playing a video and if you do something else, the video screen is somewhere on the screen and you can resize it. But
yeah, I think like the Note has like a lot of like drag this to one side of the screen
type
thing. I think
it failed really badly. I mean, it doesn't help. The same principles that apply to desktop are not applicable.
It still feels clunky like a mobile, because a mobile device, as soon as something goes out of favor, it's meant to cut off all like communications and everything. It's meant to save power now. It's like, you're not being used now, save power.
Mm. Well,
but like,
yeah. I think that's why the iPhone's been so successful, just because it's just a task-orientated device.
It does one thing.
Yeah, don't start about that.
True.
Multitasking just hasn't really worked anywhere on a mobile device.
Till version 4 iOS didn't even had multitasking. So yeah,
I know. And it was a feature. It was a feature that I was told to enjoy.
It's just
focus
episodes
on the thing that I want.
Well, so, yeah, that's the whole idea. I mean, a lot of HTML5 oriented platforms like Firefox OS and Tizen already using this kind of a features
paradigm.
I guess Android is gonna try to. I think Android is gonna try to actually make sure to use those things as well.
So I feel like we've talked a bit about rumors that are already out there in the world.
Yep.
What do you guys want? You know, let's look away from the rumors. As a developer, Keith, what's your most sought after feature in Android? What do you want out of the new 4.5, 5.0 Lollipop? Lollies, lemon meringue, licorice.
Googlio. The main thing I want out of everything in the whole world, if they do nothing else, they just come up and they just go, it's Googlio.
Google Vest.
We're announcing Google Vest. aside from Google Vest. If we can't have Vest, yep, Vest first. And then they go, oh, and also, Google have been working on something called an IDE. This is getting very programmery, which is a development.
Three of us are programmers.
And, that's our core audience. So
yes,
like go for your life.
Of the six people. Okay, so they're working on an IDE called Android Studio, which is built on top of another IDE called IntelliJ, which is really nice to use and all built in and one download and it just works and it's beautiful and it's been in beta. And if they come out and they just say, this is at version one, I am the happiest Keith in the world. I'll be very, very happy.
So basically the best thing that Android can do to their SDK as a developer is like help you program more efficiently.
Just release Android Studio, please.
Would you say that's an issue right now? Is the state of Android development like you generally use Eclipse? Is that it's just not up to scratch?
Yeah, use Eclipse. It's clunky because Eclipse is its own thing. And
yeah, it's not made for
the Android SDK is kind of on top of it and never really was developed alongside it or integrated in properly.
Well, Eclipse has a really long history of... being clunky and not function properly.
Well,
so
I can't even.
I mean, that's a harsh. That's like Eclipse is what it is. It's a big thing that is lots of things to lots of people. But obviously, it can't be the perfect thing to everyone.
Yeah. So
that's just like you can't. It's too generic to
I think that's a compliment.
Of all trades.
and it's interesting thing to say that the Android team, at least the team who designs these development tools have been focusing for the last year and a half, pretty much since the last Google I/O, they've been focusing a lot of building this Android Studio.
Petse, something is annually every year, it can't be a year and a half in between. Sorry.
Wait, yeah. What? Blowing my mind, Ken.
Well, they actually started.
Well, they started before.
They started before, but okay. They announced it on the Google I/O.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm being facetious.
I was so excited.
This is so cool. It's version 0.1, and it crashes all the time.
It's 0.5.6.
Works great on Chrome OS.
Yeah. So, because they were focusing on this Android Studio, they weren't trying to implement new features within the Eclipse plugin. So it's been neglected
a bit. Yep.
for the last year.
All the Google examples now work in Android Studio by default because they're using it internally. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it would be a great opportunity if they release that
It seems highly likely.
Yeah.
So JetBrains are the company that makes IntelliJ. Do you know, did they license it to Google, or is it open source somehow?
JetBrains actually had IntelliJ open source community version, and they have a paid version. So Google is built on top of the open source community version.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm sure they'll be okay. I know they make really popular iOS IDs.
Well, the whole principle around Google's and Android is based on the open source. With Eclipse and...
This is really interesting because we were talking and you guys were saying that Android is... the direction it's moving, it's actually closing down, not opening up.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Google Play services.
Yeah.
The difference between open source Android and not so open Google Play services.
Yeah. Well, we can start off from the early beginnings. Before man was brought to the earth by God.
Before Google Vest, crystal balls. It was a simpler time.
Also announced as BV, before Vest.
So the whole idea around Android ecosystem was that it was open source. Anyone mm-hmm. can contribute. Anyone can see Google examples. Anyone can learn from it.
Yeah,
so,
which is the opposite of Apple.
Yeah,
it's basically open.
Yeah, it's entirely
transparent.
Yeah.
I think that was their thing.
Yeah,
but because it was so open and everyone who got into the market get to put their hands on it, like mm-hmm. Samsung and HTC, and they
not
pretty
naming
much
names.
You know who you are. And Nokia,
tech conglomerates.
Sonai.
They put their hands on it and they made their modifications, but instead of producing a better system, they actually contributed to the fragmentation which we have currently in mm-hmm. in Android. So we ended up a lot of devices not getting any updates at all. I guess Google and Android decided to change their politics around it. So previously, most of the apps were packaged within the Android system.
But and they were open?
They were open.
Okay.
But they've decided, okay, maybe it's time, instead of offering a system, because what happens if you have a bug or improvement within a certain app, you can't actually update easily because you need to push that update for the whole system to all the
devices. It's tied
devices.
To the OS.
Tied to the OS. So they decided, okay, maybe it's better just to offer services and applications which you can actually download and upgrade without any problem using Google Play. So they decided to lock down a lot of things.
Raise your hand if Bandy should get you a beer.
Everybody raises their hand on a podcast.
Thank you, Bandy. Amazing.
So yeah, they actually come up with this concept of Google Play services where they're offering a lot of free stuff for the developer and reducing the amount of code that you have to write pretty much.
So are they decoupling a lot of the things that were baked in originally?
Yes.
Is that
yes,
what you're
yes.
saying?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But it also produces a more closed environment now because
you have to be licensed to use it now, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I remember initially when I wanted to see, when I implemented the first list view that I wanted to do with pictures, I look mm-hmm. at the platform and I saw, oh yeah, this is how the Google guys do it.
Look at the photo app. Let's look at the code.
Yeah, let's look at the code and that's how actually it would work and it's performant. And yeah, you replicate what you saw there and you do mm-hmm. it in your app. But now because it's closed, you can't actually see those examples. But on the other hand, it abstracts all that from you. So it makes it much more easier for developers to actually develop and produce apps.
So you're saying, like, are they moving? Is it becoming more apply? So when you say it's closed and it makes users easier to develop.
I can't stop gloating.
what I don't fully understand. So you mean they provide
is in they'll just give you a full app and go, this is an app. You can chuck this in your on your platform.
Well, actually, Google Play Services, it's installed on every device that supports Google Play. Uh-huh. And it's been updated without even users' consent. So whenever they want to release a new or they want to push a new feature, you don't even have to say, okay, I want to allow to install this on my device. It would just get upgraded in the background for you. So you're getting those services for free.
Okay, so when you're building an Android app, it's a combination of Android SDK features and Google Play services SDK features.
Yeah, that's true.
I got it. Okay, and the Google Play services will be updated whenever they want over the internet.
Yeah, that's true. And in and by doing that, actually, they are kind of reducing that gap for the fragmentation which happened over the years. Mm-hmm. So they managed to get to push their updates to the all the users without upgrading the system. So it's all on the application level, pretty much.
It's really interesting.
And yeah, as an example, all the new and shiny is going into Google Play Services. Uh-huh. So the Chromecast API is baked into Google Play Services automatically.
Okay.
So the easiest way to get like your app streaming to Chromecast is by consuming Google Play Services.
So is it going to become, is the trend that your apps over time will be, like, let's say now they're 20% Google Play Services, 80% Android. Yep. They'll become 80% Google Play Services and 20% Android. Is that the kind of, or do they only provide very specific features?
It's the cool things.
Well, it's another speculation. I mean, we don't know still what's going to happen with the next release of the version. So I guess we can have another podcast afterwards, and we can talk about if there is Project Hira and there's upgrades to the system, we can do it afterwards and we can see what the actual results are and where Google is going to focus. And
we just had a visitor. Snehal just came
working
in
while we're podcasting.
He's like approving designs and talking with the testers.
Multitasking, bitches.
That is multitasking.
Now, Apple doesn't multitask.
Don't need no phone for that. Thank you very much, Andrew.
So, Petze, and I could be way off base here because I have no idea what you guys are talking about generally, but it seems like what Keith was originally talking about, maybe the solution to the issues that you were talking about with the list view, with the images, that example that you gave.
Yeah.
If if the Google.
The Google.
Makes that thing you were talking about, what was it?
What was I talking about?
You were talking about, you're like, oh.
Google Play Services? Or?
No, the...
I sound like that?
No, the IDE.
IDE. Android Studio.
Yeah. If Android Studio, it becomes a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Will that solve Petze's problem of, like, what is a list view? Or not? I could be way up
there. No, I mean, Android Studio is more the way you write the code. Okay. Yeah, it is easier to create an app that's already hooked
into
Google
Play
Services.
But what if they had templates and stuff built into
which
that?
Which they do.
So there you go.
Yeah. So not it's all kind of, the hill is kind of sloped.
And is it true that Amazon, their fork of Android, I don't know what they call it, Fire OS or something. So
that's my particular fork that I've bought into.
Talbot's invested in.
I am just shoveling.
You're not an Android user. You're a Fire user. So that wouldn't have access to Google Play Services?
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
that's really interesting.
Yeah,
I don't think they do. No.
They don't have access to Google Maps. They don't have push notifications. They don't have location services.
They can't render images to the screen. They can't use the microphone or
see, that's fine
the speaker. Use the RAM of the device.
And another cool
hard drives out.
Another interesting thing was that when you know that Nokia now does Android devices.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Inverted commas.
Yeah, and it was really interesting title, like Nokia caught the last train to fork Android. I don't know what that actually means.
Yeah, fork Android.
Yeah,
that's all I have.
Fork.
Wait, there's a train. It's on fire. It's a pie. I have no idea what's going on.
Podcast. Where
I have no idea what that might mean.
Is around bread and butter.
Probably. I hope that Google is not going to close down the whole Android ecosystem. But it was an interesting article. I mean,
what happened with the Nokia stuff? Because I read something, they went on, they did the Android thing because they could have a closed off system and still have their own store and still have their own media content.
Yeah, you can make it look like it's your operating system. You can like put your colors on it.
Someone's done a lot of work already.
Well, Nokia has made it look like the Windows mobile operating system.
Yeah.
Which is
really?
Yeah, it's like all big tiles and it's Metro.
Given that Nokia is Android owned Metro. By Microsoft, that's hardly surprising.
I'm just surprised they're using Android. That
yeah,
no, but that, it's an interesting choice to align their Android branch with their Windows stuff.
Well, that will be their brand, right? So yeah, it is weird. It is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. Yeah. It's like they wanted to run Android device applications on it, but because we are so much dependent on Google Play services, because they don't have Google Play services on their Android branch. And
as a consumer, say if I had a Kindle Fire tablet, what does that mean for me that those services are now stripped out of that and they're not available on that? Does that just mean I have to go into the Google Play Store and download the Mail app?
You don't have Play Store.
No. You don't have.
There's no Play Store.
Yeah, you have the. Unless you sideload it, but that's another story altogether.
So, the whole idea is that, you are excluded from the Google's ecosystem pretty much.
So it's another ecosystem. It's Amazon.
Yeah, you get Amazon Store.
Probably your best option is, I don't know how you would find these people, but find some people that make apps. For a living, perhaps.
I'm listening.
But Kent, so where can I find those people?
No idea. Find some people that make apps, take an Android app, and you just have to do a little bit of porting work and you can spit it out on the Fire Store too, right?
Most of the functionality would be available because I think Amazon. Amazon have their own.
Have another beer, please.
Have their own maps.
Yeah, they'll have
their alternatives.
And I think Nokia
has their own maps as well. Yeah, everyone's got their own maps.
And they have their own push.
Apple's got their own maps. They're awesome.
We are not talking about Apple maps.
In the ocean, in the middle of the ocean.
Hey,
that's come a long way. 0 degrees latitude and longitude. They're excellent.
Had a long way to go.
Yeah. Go on. You were talking about Amazon.
What was the question?
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of breaking the silence.
Yes.
Is a fun thing to do. Carry on, Peter.
If you just you build your app and you have several versions of it, you try to replace, if there is any replacement for the Google Play services using Amazon's web services or Nokia's web services, and you end up pretty much having the same app everywhere.
Nokia. Every week, Pete. That's our goal, is to question the pronunciation of Nokia.
Can we just say in Australia?
I believe
it's
pronounced
Nokia.
Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Microsoft, thank you.
There you go.
Touché. We've solved the problem. Guys, so you've had your Android developer hats on. Take that hat on. Get your... What's the really nice...
10-gallon.
Beautiful hat.
Jet always Pharrell wears Williams
them.
Hat.
Jet always wears them.
Fedora.
Ooh. Put on your Android user fedora.
Hello, I am an Android user. I am wearing a fedora.
Ironically, Jet, our French fedora wearer, is an iPhone user. But anyway, as an Android user, what do you want to see? What are you excited about as a consumer to come out of Google I/O? And for me, it's I want to see these watches. Like, I want to see these watches come to real life, not just be a pretty video. I want to see someone actually playing with one and going, this is good, that's bad, battery life, da da da. What about you guys?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm pretty big fan, I guess, say, of watches now. Mm-hmm. And it seems exciting because it's a new, it's the next thing, the next new thing. We had a chance in our office to play a little bit with Pebble and Gear.
Samsung Gear?
Yeah, we spent 2 days to actually synchronize it with one of our devices. But that's a totally different story.
How many developers does it take?
And that's a criticism of the Gear, not...
Yeah. It was an early version.
Gear developer. Is awesome. It's a TV remote control. You can change the channel with it. So
I saw you
I'm
doing that. Yeah.
I can go to the footy, I can go to the MCG, and I can change the all the channels. Not the big screen, just the little ones that they hang under the... the seats, you can go there with your Samsung?
Galaxy
Samsung
Gear.
Samsung Gear.
It's paid for itself, mate.
Nokia.
You can put on Bold and the Beautiful while these Collingwood fans are trying to watch the game.
Keith, what about...
Just paid for itself. Ken.
Any other Nexus devices you'd like to see come out?
Out of I/O? I recently heard that they're actually booting a bunch of things so they can get the Nexus 8 out. and that would be nice.
And is that an 8-inch device? Is that, are they still keeping to that thing?
It's 8.9 inches.
It's almost
almost 9. I feel like they could have made it 9 inches, but they just went, you know what? We wanted to call it 8. So we made it 8.9 inches.
I just feel like their marketing strategy is not attainable. Like at some point, phones, they'll be like, inventive. The Nexus 12, the 12-inch phone, because it's been 7 years since we brought out the Nexus 5.
Can you please stop talking in imperial measurements? It's making me very uncomfortable.
What would it be? What's
like, hang on, I'm just going to
convert. The Nexus 10.2.
0.9 inches, 2 centimeters. And
Petsy, health, fitness apps. You actually said you're quite excited about this.
Yeah, well, I wish that Google has similar plans like with Apple.
Don't say that to them.
Okay.
They'll use it. Yeah. They'll use it.
He said it out loud. We've got it on tape.
He was on me.
We have to start again.
So, hello and welcome to the Owen podcast.
Hello.
Because in Australia, it's really popular to, at least with our profession, to keep your
steps,
body fit, and
look at us. We're Greek gods.
I got to say, at Pilates yesterday, there was only one other person at this table that was at Pilates
yesterday.
We
did office Pilates yesterday. Yeah, I couldn't make it. I had to go to the gym, and then I had to run across the city.
I did Pilates for the second time.
Wow.
You were good at it.
My judgment.
Two Pilates,
Pilates
in your life.
Pilates is the inbred American hick cousin of yoga.
Is that a compliment or not?
No.
Okay.
Do you think evil Dalsim from Street Fighter does Pilates? Pilates fire.
He should. He'd probably be better than his Pilates.
Yeah, so as I was saying...
Oh, wait, were you talking about that?
As I was saying...
Mean.
It would be good to see those kind of apps even on Android. Mm-hmm. And
I would use that.
Yeah, I would use that as well. I mean, I do cycle every day. So
I expect bigger things from Google.
Yeah, not just health and fitness tracking. That's so mainstream
it's
consumer.
Thinking, it's small time. It's very... Mm-hmm.
Life tracking.
It's just copying.
No. Google should come out with a little robot that eats fat.
Oh.
Or
like a...
You swallow a pill. Like forget...
Nanobot. A little nanobot.
Yeah, little nanobots. And you have a drink of milk or something, and then you just get really healthy. That's what I'm looking for from Google. Nanodroids.
If Google came out with a nanodroid tomorrow, would you inject that into your person?
No, it would have to be drinking. It would have to be drinking. I wouldn't do it. If you couldn't drink it, I'd be dubious of it. I don't want to... I
would mainline
my intestinal system, not my bloodstream.
Yesterday.
You'd be totally up for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did anyone see the movie Inner Space? It's from like 1982. They shrink a guy down and he goes around inside someone's body.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know if Google made nanobots, they'd be like, they'd have video cameras and sensors and they'd be like streaming it all back.
I've seen that. There's a big yellow school bus and they go around like the human body.
Played that game.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Game is amazing. Yeah.
So Google I.O., I just have one last question. Last time I checked, WWDC lasts for 5 days. Google I.O., how many days does Google I.O. go for where they tell you everything they need to tell you about Android?
Google. They only need to say
how
Android
long does that
Studio.
Go for?
Well, I think it's 2 days.
Oh, 2 days?
Yeah, because they're more efficient than Apple.
Yeah, right.
Yep. But you get to get free stuff on Google.
That's everyone who applied for a ticket is just like, I might get a Moto 360. I'm going.
I feel like that's what it's all about. So we're thinking watches. Do you think there'll be more? There'll be a Nexus set-top box?
Android TV.
Yeah, there's going to happen. I think that... They're not going to focus on hardware. They're going to focus more on software. So I think Android TV is going to be like, I don't know. Something.
Well, Google isn't hardware. Like Chromecast, is that their only hardware they're making?
Nexus?
Chromebooks?
Will they make it? Because, right now with the Amazon Fire TV thing, mm-hmm. it's very much like you're looking at these apps going, oh, this is a port of a tablet app. Do you think they'll release SDKs
a new
and
category.
Stuff for...
It's a great question.
There already is. Like when you were talking about the buckets and stuff like that with Brad, there is actually a bucket for like TV-sized like monitors and stuff like that. So it's there. Like developers can take like can take advantage of these things.
I think in 2014, when you talk about adding another device to like the spectrum, you don't talk about, it's not a whole new category sort of. Like I think in
it's a shift
3 or 4 years ago, yeah, it was like, this is a whole new category. We need to make a whole new app for this device.
Hey guys, karaoke's late at the night, okay?
Yeah, I think like 3 or 4 years ago when a new screen size came out, it was like a product category. But I think the lines are blurred so much now that, and people are putting content forward at the front, so it's less about the Chrome around the content. So it's kind of, yeah, I think what Keith's, I mean, they already are big buckets. They've literally already taken it into account, but I would expect Apple to do the same thing. If they open an SDK, I would expect it to just be an extension of iOS, not a whole new thing that you need to make whole new apps for.
What's the Flexi layout view thing called?
Flexi layout view?
Yeah.
Auto layout.
Sorry?
Auto.
Auto layout.
Layout. Okay. Yeah.
See, I'm not too sure, Ken.
No, I think so.
I don't know what the... Kind of disagree.
Pete, are you going to make another prediction?
No. I'm done with that.
For now.
Very exciting. I'm really looking, like, I love June. You have E3, big video game conference, WWDC, and Google I.O. Like, there is no better month in the year for a geek.
Also, it's nice and cold and overcast. So as a ranger, I can walk outside without getting
sunscreen. Only in the sun. Only in this hemisphere, though. Only in this hemisphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're an Aussie podcast.
On the other side of the world.
I don't think the Americans can actually understand us. No, I'm going to put that out there.
I would argue the only people in America, and hello, our American listener, the only people that would listen to this podcast is if you're preparing for a role to play an Australian tech person. Like, it's just people who are just getting ready to play Julian Assange. They will listen to this and they're like, is that really how they talk
or something? Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Julian Assange's podcast.
Oh, these WikiLeaks things. guys, one last question I want to ask you all before we round out the podcast and go on our separate ways. Do any of you guys listen to podcasts?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, outward.
That was a trick question. if any of you had to say no.
Pod what?
I have been listening to this podcast.
And oh my God. Pete, you're always critical. What are you going
to
say?
I just hate listening to myself. I hate it.
You're so funny, though.
I can't do it. I've struggled through every podcast except for the last one and this one.
I feel like your ginger beard comes through in the podcast and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
You got to bring back the Queen.
No,
or Peter Collins.
Just bad jokes.
But I haven't laughed out loud to a podcast for quite some time until Peter Collins came out.
That is
people looked at me strange because I was walking down a crowded street when that happened. It's your fault.
So
you're welcome. Speaking of funny podcasts, I found a great podcast the other day. This has got nothing to do with technology. It's just a comedy podcast. It's called By the Way, in conversation with Jeff Garlin, who is a comedian. You may recognize him.
He's the big guy. He's
the
manager.
Fat manager guy out of Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And that's what I would ask you to do now, Kent, so I can finish what I'm saying. Okay. No, it's good. I've only listened to one episode, and that's the one with Conan O'Brien, of which I'm a huge fan. Conan O'Brien is a Tonight Show host.
Conan O.
I'm losing my core audience. But if you like to laugh and like comedy, like I know you do, Kent.
Yeah, I do.
And you,
I
hate your laughing. Friends are famous award-winning comedians as well.
Some more than others.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not talking about myself.
I'm talking about your friends who are actual comedians.
Wait, Kent has a friend who's a comedian?
Yeah.
Yep. Stop your story, Peter. Kent has a friend who's a comedian.
Yeah. She won Best in Show at the Best in Show.
Best newcomer.
She's not a dog.
She's a dog.
Right, we're going to leave it there.
Kent no longer has a friend. That's a comedian.
Let's go back to. She did good at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, right?
She done good.
Kid done good.
Anyway, by the way,
what do you guys
conversation with Jeff Garlin?
I said I derailed.
And I download that app. With iTunes and the native podcast app.
Ah, so you're a native Apple
I didn't
boy.
Know there were other apps until...
You know it
that's
was a
cop out. That's a big cop out.
What? Why do you need another app? I don't know.
So I use Downcast.
Why?
When I was started listening to a lot of podcasts, Apple's app was about two versions ago and it did kind of suck. It didn't have a lot of features. And
what do you want it to do?
I use Downcast, and I think it's excellent. There's another good podcasting app, Pocket Casts by Shifty Jelly. They're,
Shifty Jelly.
It's Adelaide-based developers.
Well, the tagline for Downcast is a very cool podcatcher.
Yeah.
For iOS and Mac.
That's clever. What do you guys use on the Droid?
The Droid. I used to have an iPod, so I compare everything to iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was looking for a podcasting app that would mean I wouldn't have to sync with iTunes on my computer.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just wanted one that downloaded it itself just while I was asleep.
Straight to the device.
Over Wi-Fi next to my head while I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I can listen to the podcast through my head.
Coming through subliminally.
So for Android, I use Podcatcher, which was a paid app and was actually the first paid app I ever bought. Podcatcher? Dogcast.
Did I? Yeah. I was like, did I
Wait.
Type that wrong?
No, it's called
Dogcatcher.
Dogcatcher.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said the first time. Like, did I just miss you that every time?
It's late.
Dogs podcasts are the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called that.
So it doesn't seem to be a
is that your recommendation?
It's nice.
Is
it blue, and I recommend it. It's really a good nice. Podcast. I thought to myself, this is no good. I'll just write my own because I can do that. But
high five good. For being a developer.
Yay. We totally actually did.
Yeah. Make an app.
No, it's actually a really nice app. Download does all the things a podcasting app should do.
Plays podcasts. Downloads podcasts.
Yes.
Lets you look at the show notes of podcasts.
Yes, remembers podcasts.
Lets you resume where you are up to from podcast. Automatically downloads podcasts in the background.
That's amazing. It does all those things. Check them in my car.
Petze, do you use any different podcasting app? Do you use Google Play podcast app? Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Pete, did you know there's no native podcast app on on Android?
Well, isn't that an Apple trademark?
No, I think they were just like, it was a happy coincidence. It was like,
was it?
I think the iPod,
you know,
was
how
called
Walkmans,
that because
Walkmans were like, it's like, oh, this is my Panasonic Walkman, and it's just that happened to be the name that stuck.
Right.
I don't think it was.
I remember when podcast the term was becoming.
It was because of iPod, like that's
yeah, it was becoming popular, and a lot of people were like, popular RSS. Audio file.
Feed distribution.
Like, let's just go with system. That's
yeah,
a,
exactly.
That's a bit tighter.
I think it just caught, you know, the mindset of the common folk. And when the common folk catch on to something.
On September 26, 2004, it was reported that Apple started to crack down on businesses using the String Pod. And if you want to know more, go to Wikipedia.
I used to play a game called Pod. It was this little red ball guy. It said Pod can, and you had to type something in. And you could, like, Pod can run.
Was it a
and
typing
he would
game?
Run. Yeah, it was like a game for like primary school kids to write simple words.
And when did you stop playing that game, Keith?
Stop. No. That game is amazing.
So, Petze, you're a dog catcher man as well.
Yeah, I've tried different apps in the past, but Keith convinced me that this one is the best one.
So. I've tried all the others.
So, Ken, why should I get Downcast? What's it going to do for me?
Oh no, it's nice.
Is it going to make you good looking?
It's not made by Apple. It's got a black interface as opposed to a white interface. The interface is largely black or grey, not white.
So it looks like an Android app.
Have a look. Let's try.
Okay.
Let's try.
It's a more compact view. Yeah, but the podcast app has come a long way since.
This sucks. Why would I?
Yeah, fine. Go back to your comedy radio with Jeff Garland.
It's got like vintage section headers.
They're great. Yeah, it's how I know what I've listened to and what I haven't listened to.
Nice. So when Kent goes to a bar, he'll put his vintage section headers down on the bar. I don't know about that, guys.
And my screen goes to sleep, so I've got to wake up my phone so everyone can see them.
All that.
I really want to open a bar either here or in Silicon Valley called the Status Bar.
That's really nice.
There used to be a Manor Bar in Melbourne, didn't there?
I think there still is.
There still is?
As far as I know, yeah. Brunswick Street. We can go. We can go sometime. Let's go tonight.
Let's all go to the Manor Bar.
Bandy's given us the old up. Let's get out of here, guys. Signal. Oh, the bar's dead.
Bar's
the
gone.
Manor Bar.
Oh, it is
dead.
Down. Yeah. See, I was right.
You got no kick in the status balls. Bar.
I beg your pardon, Kent. Why are you pointing at me like that?
Let's round out the show. I want you to finish this off. You started us off on a great note.
You're driving this truck.
And that is it. speaking of the status bar, I think we should go. I'm not good at this, Kevin.
I didn't put you on the spot.
Keithy. Oh, Peter. And now.
Go. And go. Keithy, what's our Twitter handle?
Ooh, pressure. Okay, it's at Outwear.
Can you spell that, please?
A-T, no, the little at symbol, and then Outwear is O-U-T-W-A-R-E.
Can you please use it in a sentence?
At Outwear is a Twitter handle you can and now put into Twitter.
Say it like it's a Sale of the Century contestant.
At, I've got a good one. At Outwear, we make apps.
Good, we're going to figure out a better way to close the show. Like, it's always a train wreck. Every single week.
It's Eitan's fault.
Petsay and Keith, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Bandy, our producer, thanks for coming in. Pete, you've been wonderful.
Thank you for inviting us into your heads, and enjoy the rest of your soak.
Adios.
In your hot tub.